Good morning, everyone. Good morning. 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 Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you all here. I hope you are well. I also would like to welcome Alan and Debbie, who have come across from Willingham. I get Willingham and Wilburton mixed up. Who was the other person who was saying they got them? Oh, you, Paula, when you first came. Yeah. Willingham. Willingham's that way, isn't it? Willingham past Rampton. Got it. And are going to talk to us about a course that they're running a bit later on in the service. So welcome to them this morning as well. Have you all had a good first full week back at school? Mixed responses. Okay. Question for you then. Oh, should I give the notices first? All right. First of all, please stay after the service. We have a bring and share church lunch. If you haven't bought anything to share, do still stay or pop to the shop and grab something and bring it back to share. But stay and enjoy lunch together, followed by our full church meeting, which is for anyone who comes to church, has been to church, is here today and never been before but wants to join us, to find out what we've been doing over the past year, what we're planning to do in the coming year, and to have your input into that as well. So not just for members, for anyone in the church or connected to the church. Also, there is a Christians Together in Cottenham, a CTIC meeting this Tuesday, 7:30 at the Salvation Army. Please do come along to that if you can, to find out again what is happening, what we do together, things that we're planning to do or things that we're discussing about doing together in our village, and things that you want to bring ideas that you think it would be good for us to do as churches and Christians together in Cottenham. So that's 7:30 Tuesday evening at the Salvation Army Hall, not the barn. Oh no, barn. Oh well, you know, have a look around. We'll be somewhere. See, I'm so up with the detail. And also this week, house groups start. So Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock at David and Paula's. Thursday evening, house group light, 8 o'clock at Paula and John's. Please do come along or talk to myself or Miranda if you're interested in Wednesday, or Paula if you're interested in... I'm just going on now, aren't I? So let's stop. Let's stop and give you a question. What things have you loved doing this week? Could be one thing. Could be a lot of things if you had a great week. Oh, Rowan, you're a bit too eager. Discuss for a moment and then we will hear from you. What things have you loved doing this week? Loved doing. Discuss. Okay, what things have you loved doing this week? Rowan, you had your hand up straight away. Rest Park. Oh. Wonderful. Rest Park. Church outing. Wouldn't be so restful for everyone else, would it, if we had a church outing there? Okay, anyone else, anything you've loved? Yes, yeah. Cycling to work. Oh, wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. Breaking up for the weekend. Oh, it's always a good thing, isn't it? Okay, anyone? Yes. Yes, you did a lot of cycling, didn't you? How many miles was that? 96 miles. Oh, yes, a round of applause for 96 miles of cycling. Was that yesterday? How are you feeling? I've done 96 miles. I've got a bit of a headache. I'd be like, I can't actually get up out of the chair. Okay, anything else that anyone has loved doing this week? Oh, yes. What did you see? I can't see that far. What is that? Oh, wow. That's amazing. I love torches. Have you got lots of torches? Really should. You know, every time you see one, I'd like that torch. No, don't. Anyone else loved anything this week? No? Well, we do lots of things, don't we? Some things we would say we really loved doing. Others we would say it was okay. Some we really don't enjoy. Do you know what God says to us? Whether we loved our week or whether we really didn't like our week, God says to us that he's loved being with us in our week. In fact, we could be described as the apple of God's eye, the thing that he sets his eye upon and that he loves most of all. And whether we've really loved our week or not, God has really loved being in our week with us. And so we're going to worship him this morning as a thank you for him loving to be with us. And we're going to say, we love to be with you this morning. And we're going to start off with a wonderful action song, which we've sung before, called Oi Oi, We Are Going to Praise the Lord. We're doing it to a CD, so it's slightly different. Has a few little oi, 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 go with it. Brilliant. In case you don't know it, we do oi, oi, we are going to praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are going to praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are going to praise the Lord. And then a pointy finger. There's lots of things. Just, you know, anyone to help me? Oh, Tegan. Oh. No, she's leaving. She's going. Anyone else want to help me? No, she's not going to do that. Okay, looks like I'm on my own then. But if you want to join me at any point when you feel I'm making a complete fool of myself, do. Let's stand to sing. Oi, oi. Yeah, yeah. We are going to praise the Lord. Oi, yeah, yeah, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. He's an exciting, power-rising, colossal, humongous, wonderful. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. He's an exciting, power-rising, colossal, humongous, humongous God. Sometimes hard to understand why God, who made the earth and man, will point a finger down from heaven and shout, hey you, I love you, hey you, I love you, hey you, you, I love you, but it's true. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. He's an exciting, power rising, colossal, humongous, humongous God. Oi, oi, yeah, yeah, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, yeah, yeah, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we are gonna praise the Lord. He's an exciting, power rising, colossal, humongous, humongous God. Sometimes hard to understand why God, who made the earth and man, will point a finger down from heaven and shout, hey you, I love you, hey you, I love you, hey you, you, I love you, but it's true. Oi, oi, we Mungus, Mungus. Oi, oi, we're gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we're gonna praise the Lord. Oi, oi, we're gonna praise the Lord. His unexciting power rising, colossal, humongous, mungus God. His unexciting power rising, colossal, humongous, mungus God. Round of applause. Can I just say, oh, please remain standing. Can I just say, this side, fairly good. This side, confused expression. But don't worry, we're coming on to one that's a little bit slower and a little bit better, a little bit easier in that sense. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that whatever our week has held, as we gather before you this morning, we know we gather before a God who loves us so much. We gather before a God who has loved being with us in all the things we have done, whether it's been things we have loved and enjoyed or things we have not liked. We thank you that you've walked with us through the good times and the bad times, through the hard things and those we found easy and enjoyable. And we thank you that you long to be with us now and that you receive us and accept us with so much love. And we ask that we would know that as we continue to worship you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's continue in our worship as we sing, "O worship the King, the words will appear." Oh, they're there. Bible says this: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's continue as we sing "Wonderful, So Wonderful." Thank you.
wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the skies. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one. Captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one.
Father God, we thank you that you love us so much, and we offer you our love this morning. We thank you that your love is not just words, but that you sent your Son Jesus to step into our place, to show your love for us, that even when we didn't want to know you, you gave your life for us. And we thank you for that this morning. We ask, Lord, as we go to our different groups, some of us in here, some in other parts of the building, that we would be very aware of your love, of what that is, and of how we can love others too. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. It's time for those who are going to different groups in the building to go to their different groups. And for others to maybe say hello to someone near to you. How are you? If you didn't love your week, why not? Well, as I said earlier, it's good to welcome Alan and Debbie here this morning from Willingham, who I believe are getting a new minister soon. Well, why don't you come up? Sorry. Have a conversation across the pews. Alan and Debbie have come to advertise a course that they run at Willingham, but maybe you could tell us you've got a new minister coming and when that's happening, and I don't know anything else about that that might be
brilliant.
Exciting.
Okay.
I'll hand over.
Okay, thank you. Yep, we have a new minister coming on the 1st of October. We've been in pastoral vacancy for 13 months, so it's been quite quick getting a new minister in. And in some respects been a bit quick because we're quite unprepared, but we are trying to get ourselves caught up and ready for him to start, and it's quite exciting. He's coming with a family, and we are madly trying to get his house ready, etc, etc. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here one thing I would like to say is that we want to try and make stronger links with Cottenham, because we've got lots of our children come up to Cottenham Village College. We're just up the road. We have to drive through your nice village every single day to get to places and things. So it seems to be the logical place to make stronger links. And I hope that Paul and Kate will be having some stronger links. But I'm here today to tell you about a CAT course which is being run. And if we could just show a quick trailer. It's a little cartoon trailer, and then I promise to be off in 2 minutes after that.
But I'm not always sure what's really going on. Things can get a little overwhelming. Saving off all specifications can be a real challenge, and we don't always come out on top of the world. And at the end of the week, do you know how much you have to spend? Going on a CAT money course will help you get in control of your money. Learn how to build and organise budgets. Get better at saving for special occasions. And set money aside for spending. The CAT money course. Budget. Save.
Right, it was quite quick and quite fast, but briefly, what is CAP? CAP's been is Christians Against Poverty. It was set up 18 years ago, and it now organises debt centres, money courses, job clubs, release groups for addiction. It has bolt-ons for students, low-income, married couples, retired couples, primary school courses, student courses, and it is, you can't fail to go without a few weeks of CAP not coming up in the news in some place. So it really has gone national, and their target is to have 3,000 debt centres, no, 3,000 money courses being run by the end of this decade each year. And last year, 10,000 people went through a money course in the country. So what is the money course? Well, the money course is basically for everybody. You don't have to be in debt. You don't have to be thinking that you are totally out of control with your cash. It's from people who have a lot, millionaires, Richard Branson could do with coming, right down to finding, just worrying about where the next meal is going to come from. Everybody who comes gains something from how to manage their cash. And it runs on a budgeting and a cash-based system. I'm not following what I wrote at all, so I've totally got lost here. But through it, every single year, people aren't just saved from being run by money and then being in control of their own cash. They get some people come to Christ as well through it. So why am I telling a church this? Why aren't I out there? Well, the best way for people to come on a course is by personal invitation. And the best way to give a personal invitation is to know what the course is about. And I guarantee that anybody who comes on a CAP course will gain something from it. There are some scary things in it you have to go and do or try, but it's well worth doing. And it is such an eye-opener to how to organise your finances. So we are running a course down in Willingham. It starts on the 29th. It's for 3 Monday evenings. Starts at 7:45. And we usually have between about 5 and 12 people on each course. There are some slots available, and we do have seating for 110. So, you know, we can cope with more. So if there's a sudden rush, then we can cope with it. We have 6 people who've gone for training, and we just go around and help. We're not debt advisors, but we just prompt, and it's a very interactive course. So if you want to know more, then please do come and see either myself or Debbie, and we have leaflets. But just to give you 1 or 2 facts on to why, if Jesus was walking around now, why he'd want to be doing something like this. 1,300 people were made redundant between November and January each day. 10.6 million of loans are written off by banks and building societies each day. 162 million is the daily amount of interest paid on personal debts in January. Food waste in the UK reports that the average family throws away 24 meals a month. I'll skip those ones, they're a bit doom and gloom. This one for parents, it costs £29.65 a day to raise a child to the age of 18. So I've already got mine up for sale, so just to save a bit. If you buy a new car, it will cost you about £14 a day to run. And on average, an engagement ring now costs £1,329. So I'm very pleased I got married a few years ago, because I couldn't afford that now. But 75% of people say they have had an issue with money at some stage in their life, whether it was debt or just an argument or just not being able to save. Jesus wants us to go and show his love to those who are in need and to make sure that we are good stewards of our own cash. So come and see us. We won't let you go until we've given you a leaflet, because we've got rather a lot to give away, and we've been scored when we get back. So thank you.
Brilliant, thank you. Well, do have a chat to Alan and Debbie afterwards. You're welcome to stay for coffee and biscuits, you know, as well as chat. Do enjoy that. And also, if you know people who might be interested, take some information, you can hand it on to them as well. Let's just spend a little bit of time in prayer before we hear what God has to say this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for this CAP course. We thank you for Alan and Debbie and those at Willingham who are running it, and for all the courses that are run elsewhere. We thank you, Lord, that people that go on this course get such good advice and are able to do practical things to make changes. And we pray you would help us to know whether it would be good for us as well. But we do pray for those people at the moment in our country who are seriously struggling with finances. Those who are in terrible debt, and those who just don't know where to turn next. We pray, Lord, that in their darkness that you would bring your light. We pray for courses like this one that might land on their doorstep. We pray for practical help for them. But most of all, we pray that you'd enable them to see out of the dark hole they might feel that they're in. We pray, Lord, for those who were affected by the financial crisis and still are struggling as the headlines have gone and the global worries have eased. We pray for those who still find that they're in terrible trouble. We know that you haven't forgotten anyone, and we pray that you might bring help to them. Help us to be aware of each other and also of those around who are finding life hard. We pray that you would open our eyes to see how you see, and not just to see on the surface of lives that seem okay, but to look into people's hearts and lives and to be able to bring your love and help. We also pray, Lord, at this time for those who have lost everything, those who have no homes, those who have no families, those who are living hand to mouth, and those who are on the streets. We thank you once more for Jimmy's and the work that they do near us. But we pray for those who feel their life has just taken a terrible turn. And we ask that in their darkness, Lord, that you would reach out to them. We pray when we see people asking for money and asking for help, that you would help us to put aside the cynicism, help us to put aside our immediate caution and concern about what will happen if we give people help, and help us to reach out with your love, to meet people by looking in their eyes and to speak words of love to them. We pray, Lord, that you would bring us specific encounters with people and help us not to be so busy with our own business that we wander past and ignore the encounters you put in our place. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your Spirit to be people who see others, who love others, and who offer help to others. We do ask, Lord, that this week would be a week where we're able to show your love to someone else in a way that can make a big difference in their lives. And we pray for your guidance. Forgive us, Lord, where we have ignored others. Forgive us, Lord, where we ignore the struggles of those around. And help us to forgive others where they have ignored us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. We're going to have a time of confession as we come to God and seek his forgiveness. And begin just by sitting and singing, Lord, have mercy.
Call upon you now, O Lord.
Where we have failed to love, Lord, and where we have loved to hurt others, we pray for your forgiveness. Where we have scorned difference, and where we have been indifferent to those in need, we ask your forgiveness. Where we have spoken harsh words to others, and where we've been quick to take offence ourselves, we ask your forgiveness. Where we have prayed and sung about injustice, but have ignored the injustice around us, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord God, unlike us, you are true to your word. And when we come to you and ask for forgiveness, you hear our cries and you are swift to forgive. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this morning will be from the book of 1 Corinthians. We are doing a course on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're starting at the beginning. Quite a good place to start, isn't it? With love. And the reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage on love, starting at verse 1. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When I first moved to Cottenham, 6 and a bit years ago, would you believe? No, eyebrows raised. Someone bought us a dishwasher, Now, I'd never had a dishwasher before, and I have to say, I hate washing up. Anyone with me on that? A few of you. And when we lived in London, I'd be like, oh, I can't be bothered to wash up, so, you know, I'd leave it a bit. And then you end up with this huge pile of washing up, and it's just such a huge task. So we got bought this dishwasher, and I thought, oh, well, we won't use it very often, you know, just every now and again when we have visitors. Can I just say, I love my dishwasher. Every day, I start the day, breakfast, put that in, lunch, put that in, dinner, put that in, stick it on overnight. It's done. How much time does that save? I love my dishwasher. I love my dishwasher. Now, I have to say, as well as someone who hates washing up, I'm also someone who is terrible at finding somewhere where I don't know where I'm going, following directions. I'm terrible at that. If I have to travel somewhere that I've never been before, or even somewhere that I have been before many times, I always get lost. I'm hopeless at following a map. I get particularly flustered when I hit a big island with lots of lanes. I don't know whether anyone else does this. And I'm always in the wrong lane. How does that happen? Anyway, the other day, Simon bought me a Tom Tom. I love my Tom Tom. Can I just say? I love my Tom Tom. In fact, I love it because even when you go wrong, which I did, because even following the Tom Tom, I went wrong, it then recalculates, and it keeps you going in the right direction. I love my TomTom. I also love many other things. I love a good cup of tea. Nothing can beat a cup of tea. I love to relax in a chair when everyone is in bed and all the chores are done. I don't really get to do that. But I love the idea of that. I love the sunshine. Especially September sunshine. Just the right warmth. It's lovely. I also love the snow. I love the snow, especially when it's just fallen and the world completely changes. I think it's wonderful. I love an open fire. The crackle of the flames. I love that. I love chocolate. All sorts of varieties. And I love hanging out the washing. Yes, this is odd. I find it very therapeutic. Yes, I love hanging out the washing. Anyway, that's a bit weird. And I love to sleep all through the night. Does I love the idea of that as well? Not really. But, you know, although then you get older and then you can't. That's cruel, isn't it? Of course, I also love my family. Simon, James, Joshua, and the rest of my family. And I love God. Now, Simon, on the other hand, well, he loves running, something that I don't really love at all. And he also loves football, and he loves cooking, and he loves coffee, and he loves gardening, and he loves his family, and he loves God. James loves Batman and Star Wars, and playing, and at the moment he loves school, which, thumbs up. And Joshua, well, he loves walking, and climbing, and playing, and cuddles. We all have different things which we think are important in our family, and we would all say, if all of us could talk, Joshua, of course, not so much, that we love them. We love these things. And, you know, it's the same with all of us, isn't it? We all have something that we love. Lots of us have many things that we love. And even though we love them differently, of course, you know, some things we love completely. With all of our heart, with all of our entire being, we love these things. Whereas other things we love a little, but we'd still say we love them. And some things we love sometimes, but not all the time. We would still say we love these things. Because in our culture, in our society, we find it very difficult to distinguish between the things that we love a lot and the things that we simply love. Or maybe a better way of putting that is that in our culture, in our society, we don't have the language to describe how we love. We only really have the one word. And even if we did, I guess we would still find it very hard to define exactly what love is. It's a problem that our culture seems to have. I don't know whether any of you have seen the film Moulin Rouge. It's a modern day musical, I guess. And in it there is a song called The Elephant Love Song. I think it's because they sing it when they're near an elephant. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's The Elephant Love Song. And it's basically a love song which is made up of 13 different modern day and a little bit older love songs. And they're all sort of mashed together to make this one song, which is made up of lots of different love songs. And to me, this is a picture of what we do in our society. We sort of take different elements of love and we mash them together and we use the same word for everything. Oh, I love chocolate. Oh, I love my husband. Oh, I love the snow. Everything has the same word and we don't really have a different word to use. I think it's fair to say that when it comes to love, we can tend to get a little confused as to what we're really talking about in our society today, which is something that cannot be said for Paul in the Bible, who, when describing love in the passage that we just read, lays it out in no uncertain terms. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love protects. Love hopes, love trusts, love perseveres, love rejoices with the truth. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it does not dishonour, it does not delight in evil. Love is not proud or self-seeking or easily angered. Love never fails. It's fair to say the Apostle Paul understood a little bit more about love than our society does today. Of course, this passage, which is famously used at weddings mostly, was never a passage to be taken on its own and been used as a definitive description of love. It's, of course, sandwiched between 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 14, which looks at the right and ordered way in which we should worship God together. But even in the midst of these two, this is probably the most comprehensive passage on love that we are likely to find. It's also sort of a mini summary of the letter as a whole when Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. Because when he's talking to the church at Corinth, he's talking to a church that is based in a hugely cosmopolitan city. And because of this, many of the practices of the city have sort of seeped into the life of the church. So in the church in Corinth, at this time that Paul is writing, there is a lot of different things going on. There's a lot of sexual immorality. There's a lot of fighting over power and importance and influence. There's a lot of arguing, there's a lot of disagreement, there's a lot of little groups that are having a go at each other, and there is way too much emphasis on the importance of the so-called spiritual things, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in particular. So Paul, in addressing this issue in this letter to the Corinthians, firstly confirms the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also the fact that all people, whatever gifts they have, are vital in the body of Christ. And then he talks about love, specifically how vitally important it is. And he says this, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, if I speak in the tongues of angels, which is how they describe the gift of tongues, this is how important they saw this gift. If I speak in the tongues of angels, but I don't have love for other people, then I'm like the huge acoustic vase that you have in your wonderful Greek theatres. I'm just something that reverberates noise. Or if I have wisdom from God, he says, and even the faith that Jesus himself called us to have, but I don't have love, I have nothing. Or if I do the amazingly sacrificial thing that some in Corinth were doing of selling myself into slavery, giving my body to someone else to gain money to give to the poor, which was an extremely selfless act, if I do that, but I fail to love, then I gain nothing. In other words, Paul says in the opening three passages of this, love is vital. Love is everything. Love is worth more than wisdom and knowledge and insight and intellect. Love is greater than faith and service and terrible sacrifices that people make. In fact, love is greater than anything else. And to make it clear exactly what he's talking about, so that those in Corinth could have no doubt as to what kind of love he's talking about here, he continues by describing it. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others are grovelling. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best. It never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Now, some would look at this passage and say, well, clearly, this is a love that is unrealistic or naive, if not impossible. And yet Paul emphasizes it above anything else. He doesn't even try to balance things out in this passage. There's no moderation. My mum would hate it, moderation in all things. There's no moderation here. This goes all out for love. Love is everything. And if you've got everything but love, you've got nothing at all. And the reason is not because Paul is overemphasizing just to get a point across. The reason is because if we are to be children of God, if we are to live as Jesus lived, if we are to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, then love is everything. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But love is here forever. Or to put it another way, love is everything. Because not only is it epitomized in Jesus, but it is also the way of life in this world and the world to come for those who give their lives to him. Love, if you like, is a new language. It's the language of the kingdom of God. So to understand it and to learn it is vital. Some of you will know that Simon and I have been trying to learn French. Well, should I say, Simon sort of knows French. I have been trying to learn French. And the only way that we've been able to do it is to go to our French teacher's house with James and Joshua, and they are looked after in the lounge by her children, and we sit in the other room and we learn French. Which in theory, that sounds good, yeah? We can work that. However, as we're sitting down, looking at these words, which make absolutely no sense to me, all we can hear is Joshua screaming screaming and banging on the door. Screaming and banging. And she's going, do you understand this passage? And I'm like, I don't understand anything. All I can hear is the screaming and the banging. And this goes on for an hour, you know, at which point I'm supposed to have taken in and learned this new language and gone away with my homework. And all I can hear is the screaming in my head. And, you know, as we seek to follow God, learning how to love is by far the most important thing. And yet learning how to love, learning this new language can be so difficult because it's so against all that which is around us. And sometimes it's as if the values of love that we're exposed to daily are screaming so loudly in the background that the words of Paul seem incomprehensible. We can't focus on them, let alone learn how to bring them into our lives, because all we can hear is the screaming of what we've always known about love from the world around, that we can't take in what Paul is saying to us here. And then we actually start to believe that what he's saying isn't true. And that actually, in the kingdom of God, there is place for judgment. And there is place for my rights. And there is place for keeping hold of hurt. We start to believe that actually the screaming of the world around us is what is more important than the love that Paul is talking about here. But if we read it and we let it sink into our hearts, it pulls us up short, because Paul is saying the ways of this world, the things that scream at you, the values of this life, the things we hold so highly in our society, they are child's play compared with love. Love is the thing of maturity. Love is the thing that will last forever into the age to come. And so the things that we find important now, just like the Corinthians found the gifts of the Spirit so important, the things we find important now, they're going to fade. Our hobbies and our interests, they'll fade away. The jobs we put so much time and effort into, they will one day disappear. The academia that we focus on in our society as being the most important thing will soon become useless. And many other things will fall by the wayside. But love, this new language, the language of the kingdom of God, love will last forever. So if we're serious about God, if we want to live in step with the Holy Spirit, we need to put top priority on love. Not just when things are good, of course, and life is going well and we like the people that we're around, but when things are hard and when life is tough. Do you know, there's a lady called Helen Prejean, and she's a nun who works with people on death row. And she has something which she says. It's about forgiveness. But this is her quote. It says this: forgiveness is never going to be easy. Each day it must be prayed for and struggled for and won. And you know, I think the same can be said for love, for living our lives loving as God wants us to. Because to change her quote slightly, love is never going to be easy. Each day it must be prayed for and struggled for and won. It's a hard road to walk down, but this is the language of the kingdom of God. This is the language we need to learn. And we need to learn it now if we're to follow Jesus. Let's have a moment of quiet as we pray together. Father God, we thank you once more for your great love for us. It's easy for us to think at times that loving us is easy for you, that sending Jesus to give his life in our place was a step that could easily be done. But in reality, we know this is such a hard road, to send your only son to take the blame for the things that we have done, to send your only son to hear the ridicule of others when he could have stood up so easily against them. We thank you for the example of Jesus, the love that he showed to those who came to him and received and accepted, and the love that he showed to those who spat on him and beat him. We thank you that your love walks down the hardest pathway, but we thank you that when it does, it brings transformation. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear the truth here in the passage that Paul wrote, that love is the most important thing in living our lives in your kingdom. Help us not to believe that standing in judgment is better, or that speaking our points and our ways and bringing across our views is what is needed more than love. Help us instead to give our lives to you, to receive your love, and to seek to live this out before other people. We pray for your strength and your help, for your spirit to bring this fruit to bear in us, that we would be people of your kingdom, living in your ways. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to sing our final hymn this morning, Love Divine or Love's Excelling, and we're going to take up our offering as we sing. Let's stand together.
Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit.
So as we finish our time together and we enjoy lunch together and go into the week, may we be a people who know the love of God, but not only know it, may we be a people who live in it, and may it become the fruit in our lives. May God bless us and keep us and walk with us. Amen. Please be seated.